Can we all get seated? Can we get seated? Can you close that door? Can we all get seated and start with our business for the day?
Honorable Chairperson, Prasa is not here today. They are at Scopa right now.
At Scopa. AXA?
AXA is not here as well, but we've got someone from aviation from the department as well.
What does that mean?
I mean that from the Department of Transport side, we've got someone who's from aviation, but AXA itself is not here. The agency of the department, but the department is representing AXA.
Okay. And the SAA?
SAA is not an agency of the department.
Who's overseeing SAA? What is that?
National Treasury.
Members, good morning. We were expecting a presentation from Transnet. I understand Transnet is not present. We're expecting presentation from Prasa. Prasa is appearing before Scopa now. Any reason why Transnet is not here?
Transnet is an agency of the Department of Public Enterprises.
It doesn't fall under you. So we are going to deal with Sunrise and AXA. Those are the agencies that are present, isn't it?
Sunrise itself is also not here, Chairperson, but the Department of Transport is representing our agencies as we sit here today.
Are we going to get a presentation for Sunrise?
No, Chairperson, it will be a presentation from the Department of Transport on the matter of subsidies for military veterans. Sunrise is not involved in that particular matter.
But Sunrise is not a road agency.
Yes, Chairperson, they are. They are responsible for transport infrastructure, particularly the national roads infrastructure. But they don't provide transport services, so they are not responsible for subsidization of transport services. They don't provide services.
But the Department of Transport is here.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, that's fine. Gameda?
Chairperson, I think we must get this correct. This is a follow-up meeting. We once had a meeting where all these agencies were there. There was a purpose why we had that meeting, all of them, Sunrise, Transnet, and whatever. So according to our program, that is why we took a few of them before to come back and report, because we gave them time frame that they must come at this time. There was an addition. Transport was there also in that presentation that we had. So not unless maybe the committee secretary advises otherwise, but they were expected to be here. It's not only an issue about transport, about issues that they also do for military veterans that they're supposed to respond to. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Kameda. Thank you for reminding us that meeting, can we then start with the briefing from the Department of Transport, just to tell you, tell us how far you are since our last meeting?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee as well. My name is Lusanda Matigizela. I'm the Acting DDG for Public Transport in the Department of Transport. We are here today because we received a letter of invitation from the committee, which stated that the committee wanted us to provide an update on, and I'll read it here, to come and brief the committee on the status, progress, and challenges they encounter in providing subsidized transport to military veterans. That is what the letter indicated to us, and I suppose that's why the letter then got forwarded to public transport, because we had been doing some work with the Department of Military Veterans in this regard. I'd like to tender apologies for the Acting Director General, who's also in this COPA meeting with PRASA this morning. And with regards to the previous meeting, I think I need to highlight that we, as we are here today, we are not aware of this previous meeting. So we came to present, based on the letter that we received that said, let's give a progress on status on the provision of subsidized public transport services for military veterans. So we will not be able to then give a status based on the previous meeting because we are not aware of this previous meeting.
No, don't worry, you'll do that. As you talk, you realize that you'll do that. It's just that they did not give you any information. But as you preside, I think honorable members will realize that you are doing exactly what they expect from you. So rest, relax, and do your presentation.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will proceed then with the presentation. In terms of the presentation outline, it starts with a sort of a brief background on what we do as transport on the matter of subsidization as a principle, and also just to state what it is that the other agencies also do. The Department of Transport is responsible for, obviously, for ensuring that there is adequate funds and regulation over public transport services in the country. And in that regard, we are also responsible for the development of subsidy policy, which is something that we are busy doing at the moment. And the subsidy policy will, amongst other things, look at the equitable distribution of subsidy amongst all beneficiaries, as well as individual targeting, which is what we view, a subsidy to military veterans being is individual targeting. The current subsidy model is not designed for individual targeting per se, where beneficiaries request total exemption from fair payment. It's supposed to be the difference between what the operator collects as fair revenue and what the users or the commuters are able to afford. So that difference is where then we provide a subsidy as government. Targeting can also be done through direct interaction and agreement with individual bus operators. So DOT's discussions with the Department of Military Veterans were always on that basis, that we would seek agreement with bus operators that have contracts to provide subsidized public transport services for government already. And also with PRASA, of course, because PRASA is the only agency that we have that actually provides public transport services. So we had indicated that we could also approach PRASA and enter into an agreement with them for them to provide then targeted subsidies for military veterans. In terms of the progress made, the department has been engaging, I think, over a period of about 18 months or so with the DMV on the issue of providing subsidized transport services to military veterans. DMV did approach us indicating that they've got a budget available for this, and then we sort of discussed how this could be implemented. On the 24th of July last year, the department department met with DMV to discuss a draft memorandum of understanding, which was to be prepared by DMV to cover, amongst others, the basis upon which the two departments would cooperate in the development of a subsidized public transport policy to benefit military veterans. And as I had indicated, we are developing a subsidy policy that covers the country, but then that a particular chapter or aspect of that policy would then also address the issue of military veterans specifically. And also to engage, facilitate, and determine the process of developing this policy and establish a steering committee between the two departments, which would be convened by the DMV, which would monitor the implementation of the said MOU. A follow-up meeting was then held on the 23rd of September in 2015, where we discussed the following: the draft MOUs to address legal and institutional issues, and the, what I've already said, that the subsidy model that we have at DOT is for all public transport users, but that we would then make a special dispensation for military veterans. We then started, we had indicated to them that we are already in the process of developing a subsidy policy, and DMV will then have an opportunity to make inputs into that process regarding MKV as assistance. And we also provided them with a copy of the draft subsidy framework, which we already had. This was sent on the 7th of October last year. A proposal was also made in this meeting that we could actually pilot a subsidy targeting model for military veterans specifically in KZN, because DMV indicated to us that they had already started talks with a certain operator in KZN on this, so we said we could then follow it up and resuscitate those discussions and then do a pilot for that area specifically, and that DME would then provide the funds for this. On the 15th of October last year, the final MOU, which had then been vetted by DMV, was received by the DOT. We also went through a process of vetting it to legal and, you know, a little back and forth in terms of their clauses and so on. We agreed finally that this is the MOU that could be signed. And after our last meeting, it was agreed then that there would be interactions between the two DGs to then facilitate the signing of the MOU by the two DGs. And I think this is where then the interactions ended. I'm not sure what happened from the DMV side, but, you know, we didn't really hear from them again because they were supposed to have been in contact with us to facilitate the meetings. I think we actually contacted our DG's office and provided two or three dates, and they were going to come back to us then to facilitate that meeting, but then it never happened. This year, in March, we then also received correspondence from the DMV that there had been some personnel changes in the department, and that a new person was now assigned to this process and would be in contact with us shortly. And, you know, we're still waiting for that. But, you know, as I said, we had gone some way in terms of implementing this particular project, and we will continue working with the DMV on this particular matter. As I had indicated earlier, we are still developing the subsidy policy, and when we set up the steering committee, we will still invite the DMV to that process. We've had some procurement challenges on our side, but that process is still going on. The department did make a commitment to consult the DMV as the process unfolds for them to make their inputs and proposals, and we are still sticking to that commitment. The proposed pilot program in Durban is still a viable alternative and should be pursued as a first step towards subsidization of public transport services for veterans, and that if necessary, DMV can also be assisted to contact individual bus operators to discuss and pilot this proposal, which is what we had already agreed to. So this is the work that the Department of Transport, particularly Public Transport, had been doing with DMV on the matter of transport services, subsidized transport services for military veterans. For AXA is an agency that is responsible for provision of infrastructure, like airports, for the country. So they don't offer any particular public transport services, so which is why there's nothing on them here. But then I think we've also gotten an understanding from the member who indicated that those matters were on something else, not necessarily on public transport services. So with that, I think we'll conclude from our side, and then we'll take questions. Thank you.
You're done.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm done.
There was no any other presentation?
No, Chairperson, there's no other presentation.
No, no, you see, honorable members, from as I'm sitting here, my understanding is, as Honorable Gamet was saying, this is a follow-up meeting. Even if they do not know that this is a follow-up meeting, or any other person would not know, I would understand that the first meeting with you, the presentation would be like that. Because when we say it's a follow-up meeting, I would have expected that they actually say, we saw 10 military veterans boarding a bus from this point to that point, free of charge, something like that, being having access to the public, actual access to the public transport. But where we are now, they are still talking about policies, about negotiations between the DMV and the Department of Transport, proposed pilot project. I'm not sure as to how we are going to move from here. Honorable members, maybe you would help. Honorable JJ, Honorable Isao, Honorable Bongo.
Thank you, First Letter. Honorable members, colleagues from the department, Department of Transport. Chairperson, I am still waiting for further information on the presentation that has started now. I only had a model of how the policy is going to be formulated, and agreement, MOU, and whatever. But Chair, I must say, as I look at this document, a lot of work, or a work, it has only been done in 2015. And in this year, 2016, it's only 17th March where you have done something. Unless you say the document is ready, is being implemented. But according to the content that I get, is that they are still going to make agreement, going to do this and this. You see, Chairperson, it's very frustrating, and sometimes when we want to implement a project and talk about the documentation more than 2 years, as a police to say, how do we run this? Must consult this one. We agree or we don't disagree. Who must intervene, executive or whatever. But for now, really, is this presentation, it doesn't give hope. Or it will just be documentation throughout until we end up this term of fifth parliament, and of which is, it won't be correct, Chair. I should think the Department of Transport must do what is required them to do so that they can assist us. Military veterans are awaiting very patiently outside. What means of transport are they using if we don't take care of them? Temporarily, is there any measure that is assisting them to move? Because it seems our documentation is taking so long, and here is only three papers that explain of how the model of a document should be look like. But I should think, Chair, really it's a concern, but this concern, we still need more from the department so that we can assist the military veteran about what is due to them as a transportation means to travel from point A to point B. Chair, will just end up there, but also those sectors of the Department of Transport who did not feature here, Chair, should think we must come up with a way forward of what to do, because they must come and tell us how far are they? We need the progress in the future. We are not just meeting for sake of meeting. We need a progress report to say we have moved from here up to here, and the military veterans will be assisted here and there. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning. Anocha, I think what we should ask is, one, the last engagement that we had last year, that was in July, with all the different players, and how was that arranged? Was that arranged via the DOD, or was it arranged directly with all the different entities? Because if we only have the DOT today with us and the others did not come, then somehow there's a break in communication, or were there apologies from the other agencies that had to be here today? So I just want to know what was actually done in the communication. And secondly, if we're asking for a progress report today, that is more than a year ago. I think a progress report should also be captured in the quarterly reports that we receive, because we have had a special meeting and there had to be reports that had to be tendered to the Department of Military Veterans, and that had to be incorporated into the quarterly reports. So there's a failure on both the Department of Transport and the Department of Military Veterans in keeping us up to date, that we're asking today and we're getting this presentation, which has nothing in it. And last year already it was concluded, the final MOU, but it's not signed. I mean, that's totally unacceptable. More than a year later, we're still sitting with an MOU somewhere on the shelf that has not been concluded, and an SLA that had to follow the MOU. So it is totally unacceptable. This department is also the department responsible for scholar transport that has now signed agreements that still remains unfunded, and that the children in this country still suffer. So this department need to also pull up its socks, that we get things done, and if there's subsidization that needs to take place, our budget was 50% underspent last year. We had over enough money to pilot benefits to the military veterans, and transport would have been one of the key benefits. So there's huge underspending, complete lack of communication and conclusion of matters from the department and military vets. And of course, the military veterans are the ones that continue to suffer. That's our concern. It's not being delivered to them. Whatever excuses we make them suffer out there. We got nice, cozy jobs. We get on with our life and we give 100 excuses, but other people continue to suffer. I don't think that is acceptable. And I think we want urgent reaction, and that this matter be dealt with as a matter of urgency, that we get the report back in the next week or two, but it's unacceptable if there's already a final MOU. If it is the case, can we have sight of that final MOU, if it's really been done, and if it's been concluded in 2015 in October? I think we need to be a bit more proactive to put more pressure on the departments, both the DOT and the DMV, so that we can get results, Honorable Chair. So those are my concerns that I have. There's also the subsidy policy. If this is an exceptional case, then we have to test it, we have to cost it. And of course, the issue is, how much does the state subsidize transport companies to deliver a bus service? We also have the major metros that have their own rapid bus transport systems that belongs to the metros, not to private companies. So we're actually dealing with local government. Does the DMV now have to engage directly with local government to discuss with their transport division or department about availing transport, subsidized transport, or free transport to military veterans? Or does the DOT act as an overarching representative of transport, where there is liaison between them and local government? But if it comes to the services, it may mean that there's direct communication with that particular sphere of government, because they're independent and they also act autonomously, although there's cooperative governance. So I think the path way that we have to follow must be clearly spelled out with clear milestones and time frames that we're going to do these things. And to say that somebody in DMV that's responsible for the SES or something is not more, there was a personnel change and therefore everything else came now to a standstill. That's totally unacceptable. We cannot have one individual's removal, replacement, death, resignation cause a collapse of a department and decisions to be made. We can't allow that. That is not how government operates. We have to continue to service the citizens and in this instance, the military veterans. We cannot give excuses. So I would like us to set clear time frames, clear milestones, and that must not be something which is in the distant future, but something which is even before we go on holiday. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I nearly raised my hand, Chair, in terms of the rule book. Is it correct for Honorable Esau to shout the way he shouted? Rule book section 92.
So you want to
rule 92.
Shout.
Thanks, Chair. I think I agree with the honourable Esau, Chair, and honourable Skosana. But I just have a feeling that we're not being taken very seriously. And that it's a feeling I have. We're not being taken very seriously as Parliament. Because I think we had a very progressive meeting, in my view, and I thought there is a way forward in terms of what we had agreed upon. Well, maybe somebody must pull out the minutes of that meeting, Chair, so that we can create a dashboard in terms of what we had agreed to in terms of that particular meeting. I think I think DMV, I think I would not blame them that much. There is quite, Honorable Esau, quite progress in terms of the DMV with regard to, we had this problem of the uncertainty in terms of leadership. At that point, we had almost everyone acting, and so on and so forth. So now the people who are appointed into offices, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the leadership at DMV. But I'm worried about transport. I think they are not taking Parliament very serious, and they are not taking this committee very serious. And I will still have to check in terms of the rule book again, if a department does not take a committee of Parliament serious, what recourse do we really have to do? Because that presentation that was presented is about 2015, 2016, what is that? 15, 16, why 2017? Why almost at 2017 now? We're ending the 2016, but those things were signed, they are not even telling us what is the roadmap in terms of whatever has been agreed to. There's no roadmap, just an empty presentation. So, and some few pages just like we're doing a dissertation of a paper. I don't think we're taking it serious. I'm just recommending, Chair, that, and people that were there, the presenter was not even there in that meeting. So I can't even blame her because she was not in the meeting. So if we can get the minutes of the previous meeting, maybe our researchers and we dashboard in terms of what we agreed must happen, then they take this thing back to the department and all other entities. I'm just worried that these others are not there. And this is a clear message to military veterans that they are not being taken very seriously. Because we make an invitation, somebody decides not to come to a meeting. It's a problem. So I'm just suggesting, Chair, that let's take those minutes, check the action plan in terms of what we said they were going to do, because this one does not even speak to any single matter that we spoke about the other time. Because what we requested was that we want a template that tells us what in terms of this, how far are they? In terms of that, how far are they? So I think now this does not say anything. We may need to create that dashboard and then call them. Maybe the first thing that we need to do. But this time in a more serious way, wherein even the rule books is quoted, because we need to report this to the speaker. It can't continue like it's business as usual. This is not business as usual. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kameda. Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I'll also add my voice, Chair. I'm seriously and deeply disappointed. But at the same time, I'm happy that it has been proven that certain departments do not take the issue of military veterans seriously. So it has been proven today. Now, to follow the correct sequence, we called in the department, DMV, and we wanted to know the progress of what is happening since we had the meeting last week. And they had to tell us the challenges that they have with these departments, with signing MOUs, with service level agreements, and delivery of services. They cited the Department of Transport as one of the departments that gives them a problem. That's why we called them. So we identified, they explained to us that this has happened in this department, this is what has happened here, but we're having problems here. Unfortunately, we're still today where we were last year. So the department is not playing ball. I agree with some honorable members that I can't, be happy. I can't sleep well when military veterans are suffering so much and some officials from last year haven't worked on this issue. And presumably they're going to get a bonus this December and no work has been performed. And the issue of military veterans, we just have to bury them and don't care that they need to use transport. So it's a serious issue. We cannot reverse this issue of providing them transport when they are no longer there, when they need transport now. And we said in the last meeting with the department, the main department that military veterans need is transport, because they've got to go to hospital, they've got to go to human settlement, they've got to go. So we're not going to do any service delivery to military veterans because of the Department of Transport. They don't show seriousness of this matter. People who were there last time are not here now. So we'll keep on changing goalposts and so on. Lastly, Chair, I really do agree that we need a very serious meeting, even on the 25th of December, with this department, if needs be, so that come this financial year end, we are ending a financial year end and we haven't done anything for military veterans from this department. So I support the proposal that we need to call them ASAP and they need to be, put on the spot. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You see, what you say, honorable members, was satisfied. I didn't feel dizzy because I'm just thinking, I'm just putting myself in the boots of the military veterans who are at home, you see. Because transport is a tangible benefit. Mahabat Nukutluwa, Rosenkrantz, Kepulwan, Agne Base. How do I get from Rosenkrantz, your village, to Pulwan as a military veteran to get services that Honorable Kamet is talking about? You can't postpone that kind of activity and say, you can't go there today, you'll go tomorrow. No, it can't work that way.
what we should do. It is what you have suggested. We want to put out the minutes and then look at what were the resolutions there and put that in the dashboard and send it to the Department of Transport. We expect, you know, letters of policies and what you must, those ones you must complete them even before the end of this year. Because we are always there in the offices. That is an office work. You complete them and then we expect, and that dashboard you must get it. They must get it even before we close, because we have it. We have it. Share it with them even before we close, because when we call the meeting, the agent meeting that honorable members are suggesting, we'll be looking at that dashboard. Because I don't think there is any need to go on with this in all honesty. Honorable
Chair, maybe we can just have some inputs from the DMV side, because we've heard DOT now and their presentation, and there was a final MOU, and there was a breakdown for more than a year. If we can just get an update, if that MOU was actually tabled with the DMV for consideration, and we do know there were lots of other things happening in between of the DGs and things. So just to get an idea of where this is currently with the DMV.
Want to hear the side of the Department of Military Veterans again? I will say you want to hear it again. Because in the last presentation, as Honorable Gamede said, they indicated the problems and challenges they have with the Department of Transport. I'm not sure as to whether we'll hear a new thing, unless if you have a new thing about this kind of a benefit to military veterans. So, Mr. Ozinski.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. Chair, since our last discussion and also in preparation for this meeting, I've been trying to follow up on these issues. We've retrieved the MOU. We've sent it back to our legal people to verify it. And we hope in the next few days we'll have it certified by legal people, and then I'll meet with the DG of Transport to sign off. Let me say the MOU is a bit broader than just on the issue of the subsidies. It also deals with job creation opportunities for military veterans and also business opportunities for military veterans in the various agencies of the Department of Transport. So we need then, once we've agreed on the MOU, to develop SLAs dealing with each of those areas and with each of the entities. So we've given instruction that the SLAs must be prepared concurrently with finalizing the MOU. So that's essentially where we are.
The next meeting that military veterans could travel from one point to another during this festive season. Seeing their friends, their relatives, and so on, and visiting us too. Yeah.
Thank you. I raised the issue specifically about spheres of government and also services being rendered by the different spheres. Do we ask DOT as a lead department in transport to also assist in that regard, or do we ask the DMV to directly correspond and communicate with the metros that run their own metro rapid transport systems? Durban, Cape Town, Joburg, all of them's got rapid transport systems. Do they communicate with them? I would also suggest if we can communicate with the national body of the taxi association, and they are connected, their affiliates with the provinces, and it runs right down to local level. The taxi industry, I'm asking that because on certain routes, the buses are not operating. The taxi service, if we can engage them, and their rates are normally much cheaper than others, even though they've not been subsidized, and there's been a demand that they also be subsidized, but that we start engaging them because certain sectors, there's no bus service or train service. The only real service is a taxi service. So if we can just look at extending and expanding the scope of transport, and that we look at not only train, bus, and if we say that AXA or SAA, SAA is still part of government, but it falls under a different entity, a different department, then we need to also ask DMV, can we set up correspondence immediately with those entities that are not under transport, that communication immediately starts and consideration, either subsidized or if there's some freebies once a year or twice a year for military veterans that qualify and deserve that. So I think those considerations we need to immediately activate and not only focus on DOT, that is extremely limited to what they can actually do and what they can offer. Thank you very much.
That would be a very excellent innovation. I think you're taking note of that. Honorable Chairman?
No, Chairperson. I should think you have come up with a very clear proposal on a dashboard issue. And I should think it will also accommodate the inputs made by Honorable SL to say when we talk about means of transport, we've got a range of transport in the country, and your policy must cover almost those types of transport. Only on exceptional cases where maybe the company is refusing, then it's something else, or it needs the intervention of a committee or executive. But for now, I should think we must just close it in that notion. Dashboard, resolutions taken to Department of Transport, a response on progress report, not on a model of a police, how it should looks like. No, a police which says this transport is going to move like this, companies accepted, and so on and so on. I should think your policy, you must never talk about the issue of a policy when you come here. You tell us a progress report on issues raised. The policy, you can't make a policy for 2 years. No. Chair, I don't think it's correct. Even if it's your policy or family policy, you can't make it within 2 years. No, thanks, Chair. I should think if we can close it in that note, Chair, I can be very much happy.
With that note, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. The honourable members may remain for 5 minutes because we must adopt our program and minutes. It doesn't matter. Let us not have a movement. The portfolio committee. So you may be seated while we adopt our minutes and programs. The minutes have been circulated. Yeah, how many sets of minutes do we have? We have 3 sets of minutes. Do we have any? Thank you.
Can we, honorable members, can we, department, I asked you to cease now. You are moving out, and as you move out, you disturb our meeting. As you move out, you don't step our meeting. So, you should quietly move out. Let's look at the minutes of the 2nd of November, the latest. Do we have any...
Hey, President, can I just say, if they not going out quietly, we're going to give them red overalls. I said, if they don't move out quietly, we're going to give them red overalls.
The 2nd of November, anything, you haven't picked anything? If you have not picked anything, can I have a mover and a seconder for the mover? Honorable Munisi, seconder, Honorable Isau. Now, minutes for the 9th of November. Any amendments? If they are none, can we have a mover and a seconder? A mover, Honorable Isau, seconder, Honorable Bongo. The 23rd of November, any amendments? If we don't have, can we have a mover and a seconder? Mover, Honorable Munisi, seconder. Honorable Bongo, thank you very much. The minutes are adopted. Now, there is also an invitation, honorable members.
Invitation, the launch on the 9th at the Castle of Good Hope.
Castle of Good Hope. I'm sure honorable members have received it. You all have the letter. And those honorable members who can make it should just attend. You remember we always made an undertaking that will support the castle and all its activities. So, so you suggest we should not come because we are not from Cape Town. Okay, thank you very much. And this was the other and there is also one from the minister to travel to DRC to conduct oversight and goodwill visit the 10th and 12th December 2016. Oh, 10 to till the 12th of
December. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I know there was a previous one for yesterday and today, but I haven't seen that one, I must say.
You haven't seen that one?
For the 10th and the 12th.
No, but finally, I'm communicating to you now.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Honorable Issa?
On the Goma visit to DLC, are we suggesting, I see that the invitation goes in going out to the Joint Standing Committee. Now, that's a very big committee. Is that necessary, or can we have a representation, a group, a smaller group, that can go with the minister and then just report back to us?
Thank you very much. We'll try to expedite that. And there's also a program for the next term. Parliament calls it the first term program. But we know that in terms of the department, it's a fourth term program. There is the problem, honorable members. If there is anything, as I said, it should be sent to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
first one, obviously, on that study tour, whether approval has been granted by Parliament or are we still waiting for that? And also, is the idea that all of us go to both Algeria and Cuba, or do we split it into two groups? That's the one question. And then just in terms of the oversight planned for 15th of March, Youngsfield Military Base, 2 minute hospital, fantastic, I've got no problem with that. But just in terms of problems that we've identified in the past, also when we, during our oversight visit to Pretoria, is to visit Air Force Base Oosterplaat, in terms of 35 Squadron. I know that at the presentation at headquarters, they have submitted to us a couple of things that, you know, I think we should visit there, and probably then Langebaan as well, in terms of what is going on. So those are the two issues that I have flagged from that time, and I thought that would be good for us to do oversight visit there as well.
Oosterplaat and Langebaan?
And Langebaan, yes.
Okay. And the program is not yet approved. We are still waiting for approval. I mean the study tour. But we may not leave it out of our program because it's our program. Okay, thank you very much. And then, Honorable Sam?
Chair, I think there's a document that was circulated to us by our researchers and content advisor that there's been visits done to all the military bases in the Western Cape, not in the whole Western Cape, but mostly in the metro area and then just outside. Now, that is a very good report in terms of the issues that were identified. So if similarly a dashboard for each military base is created, we can then say which is more important than others that need to be visited. And then follow up on that initial visit by the researchers, then the committee can actually go. So if we can just create a dashboard of all the military bases in the Western Cape, which is close by, it will take us just half a day just to quickly run down and come back. It can easily be done. The one on the international trip to Algeria and Cuba, we did identify Vietnam as well. But I think in terms of the planning, if we can give an indication to Mr. Frolic that normally has to consider these things, it's a huge cost if the whole committee goes to any one destination or via another country. So it's basically it's a round trip, it's not a return trip. And that is much more expensive in terms of the flight cost. If we divide the committee up and appoint members to take charge of the group, one actually cut the cost tremendously and you cover all the places with less money. So if that proposal can be, you can think about it, Honorable Chair and the committee, if we can say that we're sending five people here, five people, and as a return trips, and then suggest to Mr. Frolic, the cost will be far less in terms of accommodation of flight and all, even internal transport when you're in the country, because you just need a small vehicle to transport people. Instead of a huge delegation, you may need 2-3 vans that you need to hire. So if we can apply our mind, it means we come back with a report to the committees with the different delegations that went abroad.
Thank you very much. That has been done already because we arrived after realizing what you see. We are just waiting for feedback from Mr. Frolic. We hope he'll also heed our advice. And then in terms of the research trips, I authorized 2 research trips, I think, in this financial year, isn't it? Yeah, I think you must just consolidate those 2 research trips. Indeed, it's correct. We haven't had a comprehensive feedback about those research trips. And then put them also on the dashboard and see hotspots. Give us the hotspots, and then maybe should be part of our program. Is it okay, Honorable Members?
I do appreciate the quarterly the planning every term that we do, and we got our plan and we agreed to it. It can change here and there. There's no problem. I just from our experience with the annual reports that we had, where some of the entities that must report to the Department of DOD or Department of DMV, that they submitted the quarterly reports, 3 together where they're supposed to submit it on time every quarter, if that can be slotted and we can have a full running right across the year to slot in what is mandatory for departments and entities to do, and then the additional matters, we can then deliberate the committee where we want to go, what we need to do. But the mandatory matters, we need to get on time. If the research team and the secretariat can just assist to plot it and say exactly when each one must report back. Like Sunva, we haven't received Sunva's annual report yet. Normally it's given to us. We received the one. This year we didn't receive at all. Thank you very much.
Honourable, it's fine. That's about configuration of this. I think they will do that. Honourable Gamere.
Chair, I just want to check from this dashboard committee. Vietnam is officially out among these, I see two countries, Algeria and Cuba.
Yeah, I think in our last meeting we decided on Algeria and Cuba, saying that Vietnam is also an option as we go on. Thank you very much. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. This is our last meeting for today. Yeah.